Morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. We've been talking a lot about Ewan McKenzie and the fact that he's resigned, and Michael Checker looks like he'll take up a 3-year deal. The headlines hit over there?
Absolutely. It was front page of the sports pages here on the weekend, and very much a talking point. I was on another radio station, a national broadcaster over here in England, yesterday, and we talked about it at length, and there's enormous interest in what's going on. But people are very fearful of a wounded wallaby, and they believe that this could be, you know, if anything's going to be spur them on, the upheaval could be it. But, oh boy, I'm going to be covering the Wallabies over the next month on the European tour, so I'll be able to let you know how it all goes.
Yeah, well, that's, you're going to be able to deal with Michael Checker, who's always pretty good with his time, but he'll be hard-nosed with the players, but I think he knows when to give him a cuddle as well.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to bring them all together, isn't he? I mean, he's, you know, the team is divided, complete upheaval. I mean, he comes in and he can put his own stamp on things immediately because he's already got half the team there being, Waratahs players. But he's got to be able to bring the rest of them in and feel like that they're all part of the same team and all heading towards in the same direction, because the team just cannot afford any further upheaval. You know, we really need to be working very strongly. And, you know, it's a year now to the World Cup, and, boy, I think there's a lot of improvement still to be done. And the whole Kirtley Bill question is still up in the air, though, isn't it? And
it's
one that's got to be addressed. And I, from a distance, and I don't know whether my view is repeated back in Australia, but I really sense that the culture of the team was really, you know, going downhill. And I think that it really needs to, you know, ratchet up several notches.
And what's happening at Sheffield United?
Well, I mean, this is disgraceful. What's happened here is that a player who is a convicted rapist has been sentenced to 5 years jail, but served 2.5, has come out of jail. His name is Ched Evans. The big question mark is whether he should play now for Sheffield United.
Okay.
He wants to play. He's shown no contrition whatsoever to his victim. He still maintains his innocence, and says, and the club is on the verge of signing him to a hefty contract. And it has split the community, not only in Sheffield, but throughout the country, because it really has divided opinion whether he should be allowed to play, whether he's the issue of being a role model, the issue of him showing no contrition, and the fact that his victim has had to move, change her identity, and she's been identified on social media, and now she looks like she's got to change her identity again because of the vitriol from fans. So it's a very nasty situation here, and one that really, I mean, I don't think he should be playing, but, you know, there's a lot of other people think he should be.
Right. Now, that's what Sheffield would probably want, but what about the governing body? They get to make the decision whether they register his contract or not, I assume.
Well, no, they don't. They've said it's up to the club and the
really?
The owners of the club. If they want to register him, they can. They kind of trot out the old line of, oh, you know, the rehabilitation of someone who's been in jail and we can't stop him from earning a living. Well, no, you can't stop him from earning a living. But, you know, there's many people in positions of high authority and who are in the media and in the spotlight who have positions of kind of influence. And this is certainly being a high-profile footballer would fall into that category. And yet they're, you know, sometimes even somebody just tweeting something or saying something, you get banned from sport. So I think that in this case, the owners really should take a strong stance. They've delayed announcing his signing because of the public backlash. And I think they're just waiting to see how the land lies over the next few days.
Ah, interesting stuff. Liverpool won a thriller against QPR. Yeah. It was an own goal, I think, in the end.
Oh, there were about two own goals there. It was four goals in 7 minutes in the last dying minutes of the game. It was just an incredible match. You know, QPR's manager, Harry Redknapp, I mean, he was really hoping to get this one over the line because his future's at stake. You know, QPR's right down the bottom facing relegation. And, of course, Raheem Sterling, who was a former QPR player, now with Liverpool, he you know, the young superstar for England. There's a lot of controversy about him because he didn't play for England, saying he had sore legs, and that was seen as if he was showing a little bit of wimpishness and not the appropriate nationalistic tendencies. And so he's been copping it all week in the media, but he came out and played a blinder. So that was a match that everyone was taking a keen interest in as well. But the Chelsea's, of course, at the top, and Jose Mourinho wanted everyone to know what the secret to his success was. And so he wrote it down on a journalist notepad and showed it up, and it was big balls.
Big balls.
There you go.
Right. Any confirmation about it? Was that story confirmed or not? Just speculation at this stage, Jacqueline.
No comment on that one.
I've got to tell you, though, he's a journalist, fair to come dream, Jose Mourinho. He brings plenty to the table. Well,
yeah.
I didn't mean that. I meant he's a character.
Well, apparently, Terry.
He's a fiery character.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
I think.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Jacqueline. She's a mischief maker.